This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn, Shanning and Roshan. Now, we're running a poll this morning on the BFM Twitter account. That's at BFM Radio. We're asking you, should getting rid of draconian laws be the top priority for the government? Do let us know what you think. Do you say yes? Do you say no? Is it the economy first or is it complicated? Let us know because we'll be taking a look at the results of the poll throughout the rest of the morning. But in the meantime, we are turning our attention to the palm oil sector, because CPO prices have been on an uptick over the past month. Veteran industry analyst Dorab Mistry described the rally in price as red hot at an industry conference last week, and he also predicted that benchmark futures could reach 2,700 ringgit per metric ton by March 2020.
Now, that would be the highest level in more than 2 years and would mark a 40% increase compared to July's low. Shani, do we have the prices for crude palm oil at this price?
Yeah, actually, it's up 15% on a one-month basis. So we are looking at as much as 2,500. So it's pretty much a good times for the palm oil sector. In fact, I mean, most analysts upgraded their numbers to just 2,300 ringgit for 2020. Looks like, you know, I see another run. The analysts trying to upgrade the street numbers for 20 very quickly because we're already at 2,500. But of course, the question is, how long are prices going to stay at this level?
Yeah, so this rally is being credited to an anticipated increase in demand for biodiesel fuel amid supply concerns caused by sluggish output growth due to dry weather.
Now, Mistry has said that Indonesia's support for broader use of biofuels from 2020 has been a game changer. This year, Indonesian President Joko Widodo indicated he wanted B30, that's fuel with 30% biodiesel, to be in use by January next year and B50 by the end of 2020. So for some insight into the biodiesel industry, we turned this morning to Ko Yu Ling, independent political economist with Segi Enam Advisors. Thank you for joining us, Yu Ling. Now, both Malaysia and Indonesia are looking to increase the use of palm-based biodiesel in the short to medium term. So how do the biodiesel price policies compare between the two countries?
Because it's always been cropping up, you know, even decades ago when there was oversupply and they said, oh, let's put it in the power generation. But really, biodiesel is a bit different because it's going into the transport fuel sector. So where we're at now, it's actually quite substantial. So for 2020, the forecast for Indonesia is what's called B30. And for Malaysia, it's what is called B20. So essentially, when you buy at the pump, 30% of it and 20% of it respectively would be what is made of palm methyl ester, which is something processed from palm oil and added to the diesel, and it makes it greener and cleaner.
How widespread is the use of biodiesel?
Well, it's primarily into the commercial transport. So what you have is your, you know, I guess your buses, trucks, things like that, you know. I mean, if you look at it wider as well, there's also in railway engines. And I mean, if you look at the bottom line for the palm oil sector, it's really very substantial because B20, B30, especially for Indonesia, I mean, you're talking about, you know, over 8 million tons of palm oil next year. So that represents, I'm looking at analyst calculations, almost 20% of Indonesia's production potentially. And for Malaysia, at B20, that's a lower level, it's about, you know, over 6%, just over 6% of Malaysia's CPO crude palm oil production for 2020. So you can see that it's, you know, sort of 6 to 18%. So it's quite big. And it's something that's come up in recent years because we've really had such rapid growth in production, driven primarily by hope to export into markets like the EU. Those hopes have dampened. And because the expansion was so rapid, the domestic policy side has you know, come up and said, we'll buy it, we'll do it, we'll subsidize it, etc.
But how committed is our government, in your view, to promoting biodiesel, given that it does involve significant subsidies?
Yeah, so that's the interesting part of it. I mean, in Malaysia, there's basically an outright subsidy of it. I know there's people in industry who might not want to word it that way, but essentially it is. There is a price support for it because the issue with using a vegetable oil, you know, to burn it is that vegetable oils are generally a lot more expensive than fuel. So there's a price gap. and somebody has to cover that. So in Malaysia's instance, it's the federal coffers that does it. And the wider the price gap, obviously the more costly and often the less appetite to do it. And in fact, the Indonesia case is like that, because they basically couldn't convince their, you know, fiscal to support this. What happens is that the industry self-funds it. So they kind of charge everyone a certain amount and it goes into a CPO fund. It's supposed to be used for various reasons, as well as research and smallholder support, but a large chunk of it goes to biodiesel support. And, you know, if you've got a fixed amount and the gap between the vegetable oil, the palm oil price, you know, recently the prices have gone up quite a lot. So you can imagine that the gap between that and fuel oil price is bigger. Then you can support less of it. So there's always the issue of theoretically, you know, the B30, B20 policy is there, but is there enough funding for it? So the implementation is always that something very carefully watched.
Now, on another note, given the pushback from palm oil products that we've seen from the EU, do you see the European sentiment as being one of the headwinds in the biodiesel industry?
Actually, when I talk to the people who are trading biofuels, they're actually very positive on the EU. You know, the EU needs to buy more. It's just that they want to buy from certain origins, meaning they want to buy from areas which are, you know, not deforested, and they want to buy from smallholders. So that's very interesting. So I think there's kind of a lot of noise around this issue, but ultimately, you know, the biofuel traders see the EU as continuing their expansion. So the question is whether they're going to buy it from more from Colombia, more from Indonesia, or more from Malaysia. So it's a bit of a, well, I wouldn't say it's a beauty contest, but, you know, it's more like who's willing, right? Who wants to meet the EU requirements? It's not easy. So that's the positive amidst, I would say, the noises which are going on. So I think we should recognize that there is a positive. And then at the same time, a lot of companies have reduced their certification of palm oil for the biofuel sector. So the important certification is the dominant one. It's called ISCC. This is not RSPO. I repeat, it's not RSPO. It's ISCC. And basically, the biofuel traders say we need more of it. So I think the market can actually do more to supply to the EU, ironically.
Well, thank you very much, Yuling. And that was Ko Yuling, independent political economist with Segi Enam Advisors. And interesting point she brings up there at the end, talking about the EU. Because when we talk about EU and biodiesel and palm oil, generally the conversation is around the fact that, oh, you know, has it become a politicized issue? Are we being unfairly targeted in their crusade against palm oil and all
the
of
power
that
of the lobbyists?
Yes,
right.
Exactly. So, but she makes the point here that actually, no, the EU is still looking to buy biodiesels, but they're looking to buy sustainable biodiesel that they are confident has not come from areas that have been deforested. So I guess what I'm taking from this is that we really need to up our certification game, basically.
I guess it's a never-ending perception game, right? It is what do they define as acceptable deforestation? What is sustainable? The certifications also fight within. There is one that the EU wants. We have RSPO. We have to, in light of this EU, a hurdle, everyone needs to step up their game. But the thing is, aren't we already at that level?
Well, we have still a lot more convincing to do for them to take more of our biodiesel.
But speaking of oil prices, also this morning, Bloomberg is reporting that excuse me, the biggest producers under OPEC are now not pushing for more oil supply cuts at next month's meeting. Now, OPEC is set to meet in Vienna on December 5th and 6th, and OPEC and its allies are reportedly likely to stick to their current outputs, and they're going to be encouraging members to comply more fully, because this also comes on the back of news that several OPEC countries, including names like Russia, Iraq, Nigeria, they actually haven't been complying with the cuts that they've been given. They've been actually pumping more oil than they're supposed to.
Well, actually, Russia technically isn't a member of OPEC.
It's so OPEC Plus.
Yeah, right. And even US is not a member. So when it suits them, they all kind of, yes, we'll do the cuts. And then when it doesn't suit them, everybody just keeps quiet and lies low. That's what I notice about oil. But if you look at it in terms of the oil price, it's gone up in the last few days, up 6-7%, I mean, in a monthly basis. So, you know, I think if you're an oil-producing nation, you don't want to do these cuts because, I mean, if you kind of just enjoy the oil price as it is, allow to pump as much, and it's good for your national budget.
Yeah, maximize the as much as you can at this present price, right? Because you don't know what's going to happen next year. And the influence of the OPEC itself is under question, because even if you cut supply, if the US and Russia don't follow suit, you're not going to see the result that you want. You're no longer the, I'm not sure if they ever were the monopoly, but with US producing oil at its current rate, influence is definitely something that's up for grabs in the oil game.
Yeah, because OPEC has the choice of continuing with its cutbacks and potentially sacrificing market share to US shale oil as well. But right now we're heading into the 7:30 news, and then after that we'll be back with more international news, so be sure to keep it here on The Morning Run at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.